broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, April the 14th, 2023, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Oh, Lord, I blew Glenn's eardrums out. Now it's all over for him. He will never be able to do anything else.
What did
Glenn,
you say?
You were here for 3 years. You know how this works. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, anyway, because heavens knows if we want to do anything here at this station, we want to be fair. In hour number one, I talked about a conversation that I had had with the mayor, Mayor Schertzer, on the air in regard to Glenn's running. It was the first time we talked about it. The mayor and I have never talked about this in private. It all happened on the air. If you were listening that morning, you got to hear it. Glenn has not heard this. So for fairness's purposes, because heaven knows if we're, you know, we're going to take the call and then we'll come back to this. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can we do a PSA real quick?
Go right ahead.
Okay. It's the huge, Free Laundry Day at both Colonial Coin locations and Free Soap and Softener, 11 to 2.
Wow. Tomorrow.
Wow, that's good.
Colonial on Bell Fountain in Maine, right?
Yep. Soap and Softener provided from 11 to 2. Both
okay.
Locations.
If I don't get that in again, call in and remind me again after 12.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, because you know how the memory is. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But free softener and soap provided, Colonial Coin Laundromats, tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Main and Bell Fountain.
What
so
a great
there you
deal,
go.
Yeah.
Now, in the fairness of this, so I don't misquote the mayor because I don't want anybody coming back saying, oh, I didn't say that, I didn't say this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're going to go back to February the 28th. This is the first time I had a chance to speak with the mayor on this show about Glenn's candidacy. We're going to play it in its entirety. I think it's about 5 minutes. Here it is, and then Glenn, first time you're hearing it, then yeah. We'll come back and get Glenn's thoughts. But here's the mayor and I on February the 28th, 2023. Take a listen.
A nominee for mayor. There will be no Democratic primary. It is Glenn Kobel. What did you make of Glenn announcing he was going to run for mayor and getting on the ballot?
Well, you know, I've spoken to Glenn, and, you know, one of his primary reasons that he discussed with me is he felt like that voters should have a choice, and I think it's great whenever voters have a choice, and I think Glenn will be a dramatic difference in that mayoral race, regardless of who his opponent is this November. And it just boils down to the voters will get to decide, but you will have a clear choice between very different people with very different backgrounds with very different beliefs. And that's why the voters get to decide.
Just wanted to talk a few minutes about Glenn running, because he came in the day after he was certified to be on the ballot, February 14th, Valentine's Day, and said a few things that are interesting in regard to his run for mayor. He did say that you had encouraged him to run for mayor. Is that, would you qualify that you encouraged Glenn to run for mayor?
Look, I would encourage anybody to participate in elective office, but let's be very clear that Glenn Kobel came to me. I did not go to Glenn Kobel.
Oh. And the second point was something you kind of brought up there. Glenn said he was filling a vacuum, that he had not really thought about running, but he did want people to have a choice.
Yeah, and that's kind of my opening remarks on this segment is that it's important to give the voters a choice, and clearly they will have that choice.
And the other two points that Glenn brought up in that interview, and then we'll move to the business of the city here, he did mention that people had been coming to him and saying he was going to have to work 80 hours if he was going to be mayor of Marion, and he said he was going to work as hard as somebody who worked 80 hours, but he was going to work 40 hours because these are his retirement years at 76 years of age. For somebody who's had the job, what would you say to that? What is the response?
Well, I think there are some I think there are some weeks where, yes, you find yourself working many hours, and then there are some weeks where things slack off a little bit. Generally, a pattern falls into place. The last week of the month is generally a very light week. This is kind of one of those weeks. It's the end of February, the beginning of March. There aren't a lot of meetings that take place during that time period. And then things will start to ramp up as we get into March because there's more regularly scheduled meetings. Council, city planning, EMA, downtown, CANDU, CVB, all the boards and all the committees that the mayor is a part of tend to happen in that second or third week of the month. So yes, you are going to find yourself working extra hours, if you will, above and beyond the 40 hours a week, and then things will taper down at the end of the month. And then there are unforeseen things that nobody can anticipate. I'm sure the mayor of East Palestine is putting in more than 40 hours a week. 80 hours seems like a bit of an exaggeration to me, but definitely you're going to work more than 40 hours a week in some weeks.
Another one of the points, and this has become an issue really and a question in general on national in national politics, state politics, and here on the local level. Glenn said during his interview with us that he is an atheist. He has mentioned this on radio programs in the past. He mentioned it in the meeting last night he attended, what was to be the hearing for Bill Collins. In a county with over 75 churches, do you think Marion would be willing to elect we might have had atheist run before, but somebody who is an acknowledged, self-identified atheist?
Yeah, I'm not really aware of what Glenn's, I guess, religious or in this case non-religious beliefs are. I had no idea. I've not been a frequent listener to the show that he had previously had on, so I don't know. I do, however, believe that it is important. So he doesn't. That's his choice. But I believe it is important to have a religious foundation in your life.
Would you be able to vote for somebody who was an atheist?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it until just now, to be honest with you. So I think we'll have to wait and see what kind of campaigners all the candidates for mayor are, what some of the things that they want to do. I think that a lot of issues will come out in the next, I guess, what is it, 8 months, we'll call it, 9 months, and then we'll go from there.
And final question before we move out of this this realm. Last time you were on, because we did not know who the mayoral candidate was going to be, you said you are going to endorse some Democrats that you feel are positive for their job. You said you did not know if you would endorse whoever the mayoral candidate would be. When Glenn was on, we asked if he had talked with you about that. He said you had not endorsed him, but he would love to have your endorsement. At this point, are you ready to endorse Glenn, or how do you feel on that?
Well, I think those are conversations that need to be held privately between myself and the candidate, first of all. We have not spoken since he has filed. I'm sure that there will be conversations that will take place in between now and Election Day. So we'll just wait and see what happens and let those conversations happen organically.
Now moving.
And that was Mayor Schertzer on this show on February 28th, 2023. That was the first regular interview we had with him after Glenn had announced he was running. That was uncut, unfiltered. That's just as it was. Glenn, what do you make?
I think he was very straightforward on that. When he said he didn't... how did he say it? He didn't... come after me to run for office. He didn't encourage me.
Let's be clear. Glenn came to me. I think is pretty well what he said.
And that's true. I did go to him. I went to him to ask if he thought that I should run. He told me, well, let's come in on Monday and we'll talk about it. That weekend, my wife and I talked, and I said, honey, there's probably no chance that I can get all the filings done in time to run. So when I go in on Monday, I'm just probably going to not do it. It was that much up in the air even as I walked into his office. I think Ayers Ratliff might have been in the office. There was somebody in the office with the mayor at the time. And I walked in, and I think I basically said, well, I'm sure that you probably aren't terribly concerned about having me run because of the time. There's just not enough time. And he said, oh, no, we want you to run. That's what I thought. He didn't come after me. He didn't call me and say, hey, Glenn, we need you to run. I was the one that offered the opportunity.
But I don't think I said, did you go after Glenn? I said, I think, did you encourage him? Because that's what you had said in our initial interview.
Yeah, and see, I thought that was encouragement when he said, yes, he wanted me to run on that Monday. He probably saw it as he came after me. He did not. But he wanted somebody to run against whoever the Republican candidate was going to be, and I was the last man standing, I guess you would say. Also, you asked him about the religious thing, and two of the terms that he used, he said he didn't know my religious foundation. And my religious foundation is I have a father who is a Methodist minister, a mother and a sister who were devoted Methodist people. And I like to tell people when they ask, are you an atheist? I'll say, I'm a Christian atheist. I truly believe in following Bible, not the Bible, but this preaching of Christ. Some of the guy in white robes sitting on the cloud stuff, I don't believe. But I am a good Christian. Make no bones about it. I'm a better Christian than a lot of people I hear talking about religion on TV, even though they claim to be Christians. I don't believe in all of the things, but I believe that we should follow all the parables. I believe in the Ten Commandments. I believe that Christian people who are Methodists or Baptists or whatever they are, Buddhists, whatever they are, if they have a religion, they believe in it, that's good for them. That's good for the world that they believe in that, because that gives them morality. I was lucky. My morality was given to me by a Methodist minister's father and a mother who was devoted to being a good person.
Were you taken back by his answers to those questions?
Not really. Mm-mm. I was disappointed he wasn't more supportive, but that's kind of Scott. I mean, the mayor is, he kind of stands back and holds his cards closer to his vest.
But he did not know that you had, he said he had not listened to the program, but he did not know by any private conversation that that had happened.
That what had happened?
That you were an atheist. This conversation had never happened.
I'm not sure if he did know that or not. I don't think so. I don't go around saying, oh, hey, I'm an atheist. I don't take great pride in being an atheist. It's just where my mental state is right now.
Well, Well, and I want to clear this up because some people, for some reason, think you have told me this in a private conversation. This was a conversation you had on other people's shows when you were doing a show here.
Sure did.
Long before you ran for mayor, that
Absolutely.
You did on your own show. This is not an in confidence, I'm going to tell you something.
No.
So I don't know why people get that impression that this was not already out in the mix.
I would think that even if you think I'm a fool, which you may, because I don't believe in life after death, or whatever that type of Christian is, you may think of me as a fool, but you can't think of me as a person without courage, because to come out and say that you're an atheist requires some courage. And I would think people would be happy to have a mayor that has courage enough to stand where he stands. I just think, and I'm not patting myself on the back for that. I wish I could believe the way my father believed. But my dad told me when I was a young man, I think I was 14 or 15, he said, when you get older, Glenn, you'll be either a great Methodist or you'll be a great atheist. Dad knew it.
That's a telling point. And not to harp on this, but it was just something else the mayor said on that before we move on to the other two
sure.
points, because I do want to just clear it all up here. The other point that he made when I said, would you vote for an atheist? Not specifically you, but just any in general. There are other atheists who have run for office. He wasn't sure.
Most.
Yeah. Well, what'd you make of his answer?
I think that was a good, measured answer. He's not going to know. He can't say, yes, I would vote for an atheist if he didn't believe what the atheist thought was good for the community. So I think that was a good response. Yeah, I really do. I would have said that if somebody said, would you vote for a Baptist? Well, some of them I would. Some of them I'd throw out of my house.
Well, right, but I think in that question, I think it wasn't necessarily John Johnson. You know, it was, if a trait isn't, if a whatever you want to call atheism, religion, non-religion, whatever it is, would that deter you from voting for them?
One of the smartest men in the world is Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he refuses to allow people to call him an atheist, but he doesn't believe in that there's a God, so he is an atheist, and that's kind of where I come from. It didn't take me too long. Well, yeah, it took me a long time to get to this point, but initially, I questioned, why is there a God that kills everybody with a flood? Does he kill all the innocents? There were so many questions, and the more I looked into it, the more I realized this is, for me, it was foolish.
The other two issues, and this did get a lot of play the last time you were on, the 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. You said people had come to you, they'd said it's going to be an 80-hour work week. And the reason this came up in the initial interview we did was age. We were talking about age, mm-hmm. and you said, again, it's a paraphrase, and if I'm wrong in paraphrasing this, the interview's there, people can go listen to it. But you basically said that you weren't going to be doing that. You were going to be the hardest working 40-hour-a-week mayor you were, but these are also your retirement years, and
I think Scott hit it right on the head on that one, because I'm not foolish enough to... I worked in intercollegiate athletics. I worked 1 week, 113 hours, I think it was, that we figured out. Most of the time I worked, between 40 and 60 hours a week. I'm not afraid of work. But I am at an age where I'd like to take a trip in my new RV. I'd like to be with my wife more often. So I'm not planning on keeping my nose to the grindstone 60 hours a week every week. There will be weeks, and there is no doubt in the world that there will be weeks where you have to put your nose to the grindstone and you have to work for 60, 80 hours. But I didn't, and I, when you say I'm going to work hard for 40 hours a week, I'm not going to punch a clock. I think Scott implied that he didn't punch a clock. There are days that you have to, there are weeks that you're going to have to work longer. Yeah.
And the other one, and maybe this is the most intriguing of the whole thing because of where we are, was the endorsement. Initially, when I had asked the mayor about this, he did not know who the candidate was going to be. I'd asked him back in January, and he said he did not know. He would have to see who the candidate was. By that point, we knew who the candidate was, and he knew who the candidate was by that point for almost a month, by February 28th. And he also knew that there was no primary in his party. Now, clearly, I think he's made it clear he's not going to endorse the Republican. So if he's going to endorse anybody, it would be you, but yet he still says he does not know. Those would be private conversations that he would have to have between you and he. Now, that conversation was from February 28th. Today is April 14th. Have you had conversations since then with the mayor about that?
I have not asked the mayor to endorse me. Asking the mayor to endorse me is almost as foolish as the FOP endorsing one of their own. It doesn't make any difference. He's a Democrat. He's the former mayor. He has agreed that I should run. He didn't come after me, but he's agreed that it's a good idea for me to run. But we haven't really talked about enough issues. If I'm going to endorse somebody, I want to know where they stand on many issues. We just haven't talked about that. And one of the reasons why is when I first started this campaign, I told the mayor, I'm not going to be a great mayor. He said, not now you won't, but you will be as you learn this stuff. And that is very paraphrased, but basically he was saying, I have to learn a lot in a short time.
Well, I think one of the reasons, this is interesting, because you brought up the FOP endorsement. You had said earlier that you did not think you were going to get the FOP endorsement.
Well,
no matter.
I knew they wouldn't.
Okay, because of Bill's membership there,
sure.
His 37 years in law enforcement, and also his past presidency with the FOP.
And his power, because he's been the head in city and county. That power, I don't care what anybody says, controls a lot of votes and a lot of concern.
So that being said, they did endorse him.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference in this situation is, as you have said, you're the only Democrat running. He's the Democrat. He's a Democrat. You're running for mayor. He is the mayor, four-term incumbent mayor. But yet, the endorsement's not a slam dunk.
No,
by you or him. But the FOP, you felt, was a slam dunk. So why, for Bill Collins, was his group a slam dunk, but this is not? Because I would think one of the bigger endorsements would be the sitting mayor.
Well, it may come. I'm not going to try to twist his arm for it. If he decides that he wants to endorse me, then it will mean something. I think the endorsement of the FOP for a former county sheriff / city policeman, I think that has no meaning. I mean, it's who now, if they had selected me, that would have had a meaning, but by selecting one of their own, it doesn't have a meaning. If the mayor selects to endorse me, now I will know he thinks I'll be a good mayor.
Let me ask you this: if the mayor doesn't endorse you, what will that say?
I'll be disappointed, but it will say he hasn't committed yet in his mind that I'll be a great mayor. And that's his choice, too. I mean, we all have choices, and that's why I'm running, to give you a choice.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have a question for Glenn or a topic you want to bring up here, it's always welcome, 740-383-9944. How do you feel about Bill and Sue, now that you're 2 months in, you've been at public events with them, you've had conversations with them, what do you make of them just as people?
Well, I've had more conversations with Sue because I've had her on my show when I had my show a couple of times. I like both, well, and I shouldn't say anything about Bill Collins, because I think the only thing we've said is "Hi, do you know who I am?" Yes, at the door when I went in to that meeting that they had for the election thing. That's the only time we've talked. I think we've said hi at a pancake breakfast once. So I know nothing about him. That's why I will never say anything bad about him. He may be the greatest mayor candidate ever. I have no idea anything about him. Sue is very active. I've listened to her talk, and sometimes I'm confused about her stance. But I know she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart, and she wants Marion to be a good city. And that's all you can ask.
Let's talk about the side of politics that maybe people don't want to talk about, but certainly is one of the more important parts, and it's money.
I knew that's where you're going.
And you know, the truth of the matter is, like I said, Sue has said on this show that she's had trouble with that.
Yeah,
and that's a major issue. Now, how do you overcome that when it comes to yard signs, when it comes to radio ads, when it comes to internet buys? I mean, right here on this street, I believe you go up half a mile, you see Bill Collins signs in the yard, in big ones.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's apparently got plenty of money because those signs are not cheap. Well, this sounds terrible, but my cousin Ricky, Ricky Coble, passed away 2.5 years ago, and my inheritance from him just came through. And I was one of three cousins, and he had a sizable amount of money, so I have some money. I will spend my own money, I guess, to get those yard signs and to get the door knock, you know, those door hangers. I'm not going to spend too much of my money doing that. I will be asking people to donate to Act Blue, I think it's called, but I haven't gotten it listed yet. It will be listed, I guarantee you, it will be listed by Monday of this coming week. And I will be sending out Facebooks and messages and asking for $5 or $10 or whatever you can do. And I've got some people I want to talk to locally that might be able to help me out.
Is it tough to spend your own money? I know when I know when billionaires do it, you know, it's a drop in the bucket for them, but for people who aren't, it's difficult.
Well, it's difficult because I have to tell my wife I'm spending this money for my campaign that you didn't want me to run for anyway. Now she's behind it. She's been a real supporter of mine, and she's enabled me to do whatever I need to do to run for office. It's not hard to spend your own money if you have it, and fortunately I do have some money, thanks Ricky. I'd rather not have to spend it. I'd like to have people donate to help. It would show me that you care about my candidacy. But no, it's not hard because I'm not intending to spend $100,000 for it. When I was running for state representative, I think I raised about $60,000 or $6,000, and my opponent raised well over $100,000, some of which came from Larry Householder. So, you know, I don't want money that way. If I'm going to take money from a crook, I shouldn't be running for office.
Well, just on the general here, and this has nothing to do with running for mayor, but it certainly has been newsy times, and it seems like, in our particular case, this has become a local issue because our Congressman Jim Jordan has been involved in the indictment of the former president, 34 counts, I believe, felony counts in Manhattan, and our Congressman, who sits in this district, Jim Jordan, was sued this week by the DA in Manhattan, Mr. Bragg, for trying to get information and expose it to the public that he feels is sensitive to this particular case for the president. How do you feel about our congressman being sued?
Well, if I hadn't been slow on the uptake back when I ran for state representative, I really wanted to run against Mr. Jordan, but somebody had already jumped in there, so I decided, well, maybe if I got the state representative, maybe I could adjust it a different way. I would love to run. As a matter of fact, I'd like to run against him in the next, I think he's up in 24. I'd love to run against him because I came from athletics like he did. And if my assistant wrestling coach didn't know what was going on in the locker room, we would have fired him anyway. I'm not real happy with him. I don't think he's done anything. I'm not sure that he's passed any bills, and he's been in there for a long time, since about I think 04 or 06, something around there. I think it's part of the Trump playbook to sue somebody, to take the notice off of yourself, and I think that's what he's doing.
It's historic. It would be silly not to ask it. What did you make of the former president being indicted? Nearly 250-year history of this country, 46 presidents, none have ever been indicted. It was historic. Whatever happens will happen, but what'd you make of it?
I'm sad about it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you ought to be happy. Well, I'm happy that justice will be served, but I'm sad that we allowed ourselves to hire a president who had so little regard for honesty and so little regard for empathy and so little regard for anything but himself. So I think he deserves to be... He deserves everything that's coming down the pike towards him. And I know there are a lot of people out there that, you know, I shouldn't say that because I will alienate a third of the Republicans that might switch over and vote for him. Well, they're not going to vote for me anyway. I'm way too liberal. I'm way too concerned about other people's lives. People that
What's
vote
way
for-
too liberal? Because obviously our mayor is a Democrat. Do you consider him way too liberal?
I'm saying I'm way too liberal for them. Any liberality is too liberal for the Republicans.
Well,
right now.
Let me say this just to bring it to the local level.
Sure.
Mayor Schertzer, in these off-year elections, has won four times.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the majority of the vote four different times. I'm guessing that at some point, Republicans had to vote for him as well as independents, or it just doesn't happen. What's the difference between he and you, and you feel you have a less than 50-50 chance, and he was able to win four consecutive terms in the same city, same voter turnout?
Well, he struggled the first time. He's told me it was a rough election, his first election, much like it'll be a rough election for me this time. But I think Scott is, he's more politically correct than I am. And Scott has more than once told me, oh, you shouldn't say it that way. Say it this way. And he's always given me good advice on that. And sometimes I follow it. Most of the times I follow it. Sometimes I don't. I will never lie to you and tell you that I believe, you know, we should be mean to our fellow citizens. Not that he has or anybody else has. But, I mean, there are things that I won't step over that line and say or do. The nice thing about being an old guy with no expectations about me becoming the mayor, I mean, I want to become the mayor, but there's no expectations that I have the best chance. The nice thing about it is I can tell you straightforward the way I believe. Like the gentleman that called early in the first hour, I've started running down the list of all the things I believe. I'm not sure he wanted to hear that. He just didn't like me talking about cops.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Well, what's fascinating to me is that when I covered Mayor Schertzer's first election,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Kellogg, it's a very similar situation. Mayor Kellogg had been a 16-year incumbent Republican mayor here in Marion.
And a good man.
You had a Democrat, Mayor Schertzer, or at the time city councilman, Schertzer,
right,
running. You had the president of city council, Republican Phil Reed, running for office.
And I knew
And
Phil.
It was interesting because people felt that you had 16 years of a very popular Republican mayor, that we would get a Republican. But there were some hurt feelings at the time, and I don't think I'm speaking off the record here,
that Jack Kellogg did not endorse Phil Reed for that office. And I don't think Phil liked that, and I think said so on the radio at the time. Now, I think Mayor Kellogg's reasoning, I've asked him about this since then, is that he knew both of them, he had worked with both of them, he was still working with both of them on city council, and he did not feel that was the right thing to do. So that's why when we come back to the endorsement of this, Phil Reed felt that it did hurt him that he did not get the party endorsement from the man who was 16-year popular, and almost the same thing here. We got a 16-year popular mayor. Is that going to throw it to the Republicans because the mayor is taking time here and saying, well, I don't know.
Well, we're not ready to vote, so it can take time up until the first vote is taken. I would hope he does, but it's not going to break my heart if he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then I'm sure he has good reason not to. I hope he will, I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
When we look at the grand scheme of things, one of the issues is the experience. You know, we have a big experience issue going on in Marion because of what happened with the previous auditor. So many people have said, well, yes, he was elected by the people, but he didn't know how to do the job, and it ended with the city getting many penalties, and he had to resign the office before his term was up. The city treasurer now, there's a whole issue going on there in which apparently he's moved some money around that he was not authorized to move around. And now when he's questioned by city council, he doesn't answer the questions or doesn't show up to the meetings. And we have three people running for mayor for the first time in at least a half century in Marion, where nobody has held elected office in Marion, Ohio, the city. Is that good, bad? Why has that happened?
Well, all I can say is my experience. I've led, when I was assistant athletic director at two different universities, hundreds of employees, some of them volunteer employees, some of them paid employees. So I have administrative experience. I have a college degree, which I'm very proud of. I even worked toward my master's, but back then I was too lazy to do all that hard work. I'm not anymore, but it's too late for me to try. I think, I'm not sure what the question was now that you...
Does experience matter? Yeah. We harangued the auditor for not having experience, but all three people running for mayor, whoever gets it, will walk in on the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no experience.
I don't think there's probably anybody in the city right now other than Mayor Kellogg and Mayor Schertzer who have experience being mayors of any city.
But right, but I think common wisdom had always said that Mayor Schertzer had been on council for a while. Mm-hmm. Mayor Kellogg had been on council for a while. Doc Brown had been on council. Ron Malone had been on council. Mayor Quaintance had been on council. They had been in those meetings. They had been on committees. The three of you have not.
No. But I will say, I did run for two different offices, and running for office gives you a lot of insight into what's going to be expected of you. But you're right. I have never been mayor.
But neither of the other two.
No, they have not.
But not it's city office is really what we're talking about here. Have not went to those meetings as a participant in elected city business.
Yeah, I've just started going to the city council meetings. They're kind of fun. This last one was a little hot.
Well, let's. I want to make sure we get time for this issue. It's been a quick 2 hours. The treasurer issue, because that is going to be an issue for the next mayor. This treasurer is still going to be in office, and right now it's a big issue for the city. What do you make of Mr. Reese moving this money without telling anybody, and then when asked about it, refusing to answer, and then not showing up for three meetings?
Well, I'm a friend of Tom Pannett, the former treasurer. And I think we should have kept him. He was a terrific treasurer. I don't know enough about this current. I was a little surprised with his responses the other night at the council meeting.
What do you say?
It was accusatory towards him, and it was aggressively responding, coming back.
What were they accusing him of?
Oh,
City council is what you're saying.
Not coming to the meetings, making himself available. And I think he replied that he's a teacher or something along that line, and that he can't come to all the meetings, but he will come to every meeting that they make available to him. And if he can't, they know where to find him. They know where his office is, and they can come talk to him. I thought it was a good response, but he was kind of brusque about it. I think he could have been a little less brusque about it, but they were kind of putting him in a corner, which I thought was... I don't think that's a good way to run.
Who was putting him in corner?
Some of the councilmen.
The councilmen.
I'm not sure which ones.
Now you say it was a hot meeting. Was that the hot part?
Well, that was the hot part of it. Yeah. Most of the meeting is kind of cut and dried. You know, they, you could fall asleep during most of those meetings. And as a matter of fact, I think I saw one or two people that had. That part of the meeting got a little heated. And rightfully so. There should be no one spending city money without authorization.
Do you feel he should have to show up and answer these questions no matter what his schedule is?
I think it would be very simple to have them, and I'm not sure if it's legal with the sunshine laws and stuff like that, but it would be very easy for him to meet with them at a time convenient to him and them. Outside of the council meeting. I'm not sure you're allowed to do that, though.
We've talked about a lot of broad things here today.
Sure.
What you want to do when you become, if you become mayor. But specifically for Marion, Ohio people, what is the number one, number two, or as many as we can fit in here, you can do specifically for the citizens of Marion? Not so much social or inclusion in that way, not that those are not important, but issues that face the taxpaying Marion citizens, issues that face people in Marion, Ohio specifically.
Well, I think one of the things that people are, I don't know why it's a buzz, but there is a buzz about the charter city.
Yes.
Question. I am looking into it, and I've watched several programs on it on TV. I am still not sure the way. I'm kind of leaning against a charter city because it sounds like a ton of work, and I'm not sure we have people willing to do that much work. I think we need to study the drug abuse problems that we have. I'm not sure if we've decided how to do the enforcement of those. I am really not comfortable with people going in with guns blazing anywhere. One of the things, if I had a magic wand, I would wave it and say people that make a traffic stop are not allowed to pull a gun unless a gun's pulled on them.
Interestingly enough, River Valley has announced this week that their school district will be one of 22 in the state in which staff will now be allowed to carry weapons.
I think that's horrible. I really do. And I know there are people that love that idea. Recently, there was a thing where I think it was the woman that shot up that school. There were 7 employees that had weapons at that school. Not one of them pulled the weapon out and used it. I think that's what's going to happen. The best thing that will happen is that they won't pull it out and use it. The worst thing that'll happen is some kid will find it and blow some other kid's brains out. I know they have all the training not to do that, and they have all, that's BS. I took all that training too, and I know that things happen. So I'm uncomfortable with having the River Valley staff carry weapons.
With about a minute left.
Okay. I think we need to make sure that the money that the city spends is for the greater good of all our citizens. Not Republicans, not Democrats, not white, not black. It's good for the city. And we need to have what I call a kitchen cabinet that will bring truth right to the face of the mayor and say, now that's stupid. Off the record, you can do that. If you do it out in public, it's cause for anger.
Glenn Coble, the Democratic candidate for mayor of Marion. Give the phone number again, because people are interested in that.
And one last thing I have to say.
Yeah, say it.
We need to make sure that trains going through the city of Marion are safe.
There you go.
Okay. 740-361-8721.
Signs will be available after the primary in May the 2nd. And also, Glenn is looking for people to help. So if you're interested in helping, that's
please,
the phone number to call.
Call me.
And by the way, any of the other candidates who called in earlier this week, Sue McGowan and Bill Collins, are always welcome on this program as well. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
I'm so grateful to